have one written question for this morning. Question here is, if feelings are in the mind, then why does my heart or my chest hurt when metta comes? I think that's a very beautiful question. Well, there's two real things there. One is, why do we feel our feelings if in the body if the feelings are in the mind? And secondly, why does metta sometimes hurt? So to answer both of those questions, the first one, if the feelings are in the mind, why do they come, why do you feel them in the body? And actually, in according to how the Buddha talked about things, is he didn't talk about kind of the mind and the body as two separate things. And even though we use this kind of language, because sometimes we're trapped by language, but what the Buddha pointed to is that if rather than starting with an idea of mind or an idea of the body, we start with experience. Well, what actually is this? What's actually happening? What's our reality? And the reality that we live in, the reality that we experience every moment of every day, is an embodied reality, isn't it? We feel in our body, we feel hurt, we feel pressure or touch, or all the senses are felt in the body and they're related to our body. That's our given reality. That's the most basic fact of our existence, which comes long before any theories about something called the mind, or a theory about something called the body, or the relationship between them, or anything like that. And so this is an area where I think Buddhism takes a completely different approach than does Western philosophy. And anybody who's familiar with Western philosophy and psychology will know that one of the great intractable problems is the relationship between the mind and the body. They call the problem of dualism. And the whole basis of that problem is imagining that there is something called the mind and that there is something called the body, and then having to try to figure out how they relate to each other. So from a Buddhist point of view, it's simply a false problem. The reality that we're presented with is the reality of experience. And that comes to us just as it is. It comes to us all at once. You're just presented with it. And you can then start to tease out the different aspects of that experience. Yeah. So we can say, well, some aspects of our experience are like this, and we call that touch, for example. Some aspects of our experience are like this, and we call that sight. Some aspects of our experience are like this, and we call that feeling, and so on. But so we analyze things in all these different ways, but the analysis comes afterwards. The thing itself, the experience itself, is primary. So to come back to that question, why do we feel the feelings in the body? We feel the feelings in the body because that's what our body is. Our body, actually, as we experience it, is precisely feelings. We don't experience a body which is made up of cells and matter and chemicals and molecules and DNA and all of those kinds of things. They're things which we learn about in a laboratory. They're not things you actually experience. The body as we experience it is a mass of feelings. So when we feel the feeling of metta, like every other feeling that we have, we feel it in the body. We consciously bring it into the body. So the second aspect of that question is, why does it sometimes hurt? Haven't you ever listened to any pop songs? Love hurts. Love hurts, that's a reality. So when we're doing the metta meditation, what we're doing is we're opening up. We're becoming vulnerable. We're becoming We're allowing those feelings to enter. And sometimes they come with pain. And that pain can be for many, many reasons. Usually it comes from our own history, doesn't it? From our own story. We've had some thing, some event, some relationship, something's happened in our life that's made us, brought us grief or confusion. And very often what we try to do with that grief and confusion and pain is we block it out. We try to avoid it. And in meditation, and especially in metta meditation, we say, that's okay. We let down those boundaries. We say, come in. I'm happy to experience whatever this is, whoever I am. And so it's quite normal that these feelings will come back in, and we may have quite strong emotional responses. In fact, it's very likely that we will at one point or another. So that's not in any way a bad thing. It's actually quite a good thing. It's a sign that we're opening up and a sign that meditation's moving forward. So if something like that happens, and if you find that it happens from time to time, or you go through a period where a lot of grief comes or a lot of pain comes or something, just let that through and let it go. Don't worry about it, don't attach to it, and don't try to analyze it. Meditation is not psychoanalysis. That's not the time for sitting there and trying to work out what that thing is. If you find that when you're meditating that this happens repeatedly, it happens continually, if you find that every time you're sitting, or at least every periodically it comes back and you have these kind of feelings coming and it's quite upsetting and you don't really know where it's coming from, and if it keeps on coming back, then maybe that is a time that you need to talk about it. And maybe you need to try something in addition to the meditation, to, you know, find a therapist or find a friend or whatever, and talk about it and try to get to the roots of what that problem are. So don't think that meditation can solve all of your problems. It can't. And the Buddha never said that it can. Meditation can solve those problems which meditation is good for. But it's very easy, and I think quite common, to use meditation as an avoidance tactic. When we come to meditate, we actually have things that we need to be doing, things that we need to be working on. And we come and we sit in meditation and we try to make our mind peaceful, forget about all those things, and hope that they'll go away. And that's not always the case, that things will just go away. So if you're finding that these things happen to you a lot, if they keep on coming back, then maybe that's the time to think about talking to someone about it, seeing if there's something else that you can do that can help. One other thing that can be happening here, and I can't really tell just from the very short note there, but also, as well as this kind of emotional pain which I've been talking about, is you can also get a more kind of limited kind of physical pain also from meditation. And that's more common that you'll experience that in breath meditation. And in breath meditation, of course, you have the well-known phenomenon of samadhi headache. Yeah, and it just causes from kind of focusing too hard, concentrating too much, trying too hard. And then when you do that, you can by always focusing and concentrating too much, you can give yourself a headache. And so the same thing can happen in metta meditation. It tends not to happen as much in metta meditation, but it can do. And that also might be just manifesting as a kind of a tightness or a pain in the chest. So if that's the case, then I just need to relax, step back from the meditation, broaden awareness so that there's the focus of awareness is more just generally through your body rather than in one particular part of the body. And just stop meditating for a while, just bring awareness back. Just rest for a while. And then gradually bring the meditation back in. But just being careful not to be sort of pushing or focusing too hard. So that's one way of dealing with it if you're having the problem with the kind of the more physical tightness that comes sometimes. Okay, so anyone have any more questions? Dania.
About what you said, you mentioned that Buddha never said meditation could solve everything.
Yeah.
It seems as though renouncing past and future, renouncing hindrances, renouncing all that is, you know, you can get light through the meditation, does solve all the problems. So where does the Buddha say that it doesn't? You said the Buddha said it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably didn't say it in so many words, but what he says will solve your problems is the Eightfold Path. So meditation is one part of the Eightfold Path. So this is what if we try to take the problem is if we try to take one or two aspects of the Eightfold Path, try to take right mindfulness or right samadhi, and then think that we can leave aside all the rest of the Eightfold Path, then this is where the problem comes. And this is something that's actually been identified a lot in modern spirituality, and the term they use is spiritual bypassing. And the basic idea is that you kind of are faced with problems in your life, difficulties, things that you need to try to deal with, and rather than trying to deal with them, you just jump over them by closing your eyes and pretending that they're not there. But when you open your eyes, they're still there. Okay, so let's do some guided meditation for the next half an hour or so. And we'll do guided meditation again to the second stage of loving kindness. So I want you all to think about, before we start, think of one person you can use for your loved person. Sitting quietly. Letting the mind settle into the body. noticing the feelings in all the different parts of the body. When the mind starts to think about this and that, and cut through the stream of thought, thinking, thinking, thinking. Thinking, thinking, thinking. Staying aware of the space, the gap, the emptiness between the thoughts. Leaving the mind focused in the heart, say to oneself the words, may I be happy, may I be happy, here saying the words, may I be happy, may I be happy, may I be happy. Remind ourselves of the meaning of those words. Remind ourselves of how much we really long to be happy. Notice deep in the heart is that feeling of metta. A soft, gentle feeling, the warm glow of loving kindness. And gently hold that feeling in the mind, keeping the feeling safe, keeping it secure, keeping it close. and letting the feeling spread out and fill up your whole body like water soaking through a cloth until you can feel the metta in every part of your body, from the top of the head to the soles of the feet, from the hair on the skin to the marrow of the bones. Now moving to the second person, the loved one, keeping the mind just as it is, immersed in the felt sense of the whole body. You bring in the name of the loved person. May that loved one be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. end of the meditation, from that loved person coming back to oneself, may I be happy, may I be happy, may I be happy, letting the words of metta go, letting the feeling of metta fade away, and allowing the mind to return to a neutral space, empty, open, clear. Just taking a minute to reflect and review of the meditation we've just done together, inquiring into cause and effect. What just happened? How did my mind change? What did the different stages of the meditation feel like? Did the feeling of metta come up at all? If it did, what was it like? And finally, we can dedicate the merit of our practice. May all beings be happy, may all beings be well, may all beings finally realize Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so please enjoy your meditation for the rest of the morning.